Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues. With the Due Time Crew and our relationship conversation. How to get a man to do anything you want him to do. Let's see what's going on. Well, we talked about making him think the idea was all his. So what? Well, some said no, some part of the time crew said yes, you know, but I said, I'm aware of what I think of and what I don't. So, you know how it is, they don't want to tell whether it's really true or not. What about doing the things that he loves? You know, be nice to, do that special little thing that he loves that's so important to him. What about the damsel in distress act? Does that still work? Well, part of the time crew said yes, and part of the time crew said no. No. Once they come with the little, you know, I need so much help. Yeah. They say it doesn't work. How about asking in a sweet tone of voice, oh, honey, can you please do this? They said, that don't work. And the other side said, yes, it does. So, as you can see, we were split on the things that you can do to get anything you want him to do. And, you know, we just want to remind you, you know, don't manipulate. Be honest. Okay? And make sure that everything you do is genuine. You don't want to let him know that you were playing him. Nah, he ain't going to go for that later. So, let's do the right thing. How about that? How about that? You know, do it. Get him to do anything you want him to do. You feel he might need a little nudge. Make sure it's genuine. Okay? All right. Well, we could not finish a Monday morning off properly if we did not get our switch tip with Shanti. Yes, appreciate the responsibilities. Oh, well, you know what? Let's talk about what we just got finished talking about. Yes. You know, when God gives you the responsibility of having, you know, a man a good man. You don't want to abuse it by, you know, manipulating him and, you know, doing the things that you're going to, you know, you think are going to make him do what you want him to do. Because what happens when that runs out? Yeah. When those things stop working. Yes. Because there's a possibility that will stop working. Yeah. So, you know, even the fact that you have a good man or a good woman in your life, do you realize that that in and of itself is a responsibility? Yes. Yes. I'm not talking about a burden. I'm talking about a responsibility. You have a responsibility for showing that person God's love first. Nothing else. Just God's love first. Even after you're married, God's love first. And if you remember to do just that, then things will work out for you. Okay? All right. So don't forget to appreciate the responsibility. Well, we moved over to Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day. And, the Day of the Dead is what we're talking about. Yeah, you know, three young people left from the United States and went over to Mexico. And unfortunately, they didn't live to tell the story as to whether they really made it to the celebration for the Day of Death. Yes, that's what they went over there for, to celebrate that. And unfortunately, they did not survive. They ended up renting Airbnb, and carbon monoxide was leaking, and they died from inhaling that poisonous fume. Yes, excuse me. Okay, so, you know, we talked about what the Day of the Dead, you know, meant, and that's the celebrating of your dead loved ones. And, you know, it's not what we talk about when we honor someone. No, this is literally celebrating the dead with parades and masks and all kinds of things. And, you know, you drink, you know, the person's favorite liquor or eat their favorite food. And one day is to celebrate the adults. The next day is to celebrate the children. You know, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff they do, you know, to honor the dead. And one of the things that they do is they celebrate for those who died tragically and those who died before being baptized and are still in some limbic state. And, you know, just from that stuff, you had no business participating. Yeah, because, you know, listen, we don't celebrate dead life. You know, they're already dead. They're sleeping in their grave, as the Bible tells us. And there's, you know, nobody living in limbo because, you know, they haven't been baptized before they die. Can you imagine what that crowd must be like? Yeah, we can't. We can't follow all that kind of stuff. So, you know, check out the conversation. Check out the conversation. Well, we had Wow Wednesday come around and start off with our girlfriend Vivian and our socially conscious segment. And that student loan forgiveness issue is in limbo. Yes. Biden's plan is still being halted that of the other powers that be, as a federal judge put a halt on this whole program of getting this loan forgiveness taken care of. All right, so if that's what you're waiting for, I'd say, you know, keep up with the story. All right. Well, the ladies were in the house, as always, on a Wednesday morning. And, hey, what about those friends? What about those friends who are non-Christian? What are we going to do with them? Well, remember them and honor them and respect them, because that was you. And when I say honor, I mean just give way to the fact that, you know, it was you. And what was it like when you were in their state? Huh? All righty. Well, that is and was your family. Yes. You know, so how are you going to do your family now? Because they're non-Christian. Okay? Well, what about the fact that certain things just ain't got no business bothering you now? Yes, that is true. Every little thing can't bother you. What kind of Christian are you? We don't need to be flaky Christians. All right? So, hold on to those, you know, those friends that you can, you know, discuss God with, that you can invite to church, and they're amenable to it, you know, that they don't cause you to go down. Because it's the other thing we have to really, really be watchful for. You can't let those non-Christian friends drag you down. Okay, listen, Christian friends start dragging down. So you know, if you let your guard down, the non-Christians will definitely do it. All righty. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we had our friend Sean Cornelius on with his now e-book, My Stroke Story. We get that thing that he's on this side to talk about it. A really, really, really good conversation that took place. Very informative. What a blessing, you know, it was to have him on. You got to go check out his story. Got to check out his story. Definitely a word of encouragement there. All righty? All righty. Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around. And what did we talk about? Up the reason why I hate my father. Yes, we talked about the excuses that people use. You know, the fact that they did something to someone you love and hurt that one you love. That's why you hate your father. Well, what about the fact that, you know, he didn't deal with your teen rebelliousness appropriately? Well, you know what? When you are rebellious and then you're going to come back and tell me how I need to deal with you, well, I don't know. You know, sometimes people do go a little too far. You know, other times, you know, it's exactly what you deserve. Yeah, so you can't tell me how to deal with your teen rebellion. Okay? All right. Well, how about the old excuse? My mother, yes, how many women have poisoned their children against their father? Because that does happen, right? Well, all right. Wow. The Word Prayer Project. Oh, and what did we pray for? That thing called gratitude. Oh, my goodness gracious, what a phenomenal night we had in prayer over being grateful, and ultimately how we display how grateful we are. We're not just going to keep saying, you know, oh, I'm appreciative and appreciative. No, you want to show a level of gratitude. All right, so man, you do what you need to do to show God how much you appreciate the things that he does. All righty? All righty. Well, this morning, we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Oh, we are back here already. Can you believe it? Oh, this time is flying by. Hey, this is November 21st. Ooh, how many more days to turn today? Ooh, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. Well, I'm so happy to be on with you. So grateful that God has brought us safely through another week. And us. Go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
The human voice. It can be sweet as music, powerful as thunder.
And so, my fellow Americans.
But not for millions with COPD. This serious lung disease makes it hard to breathe. And many who have COPD don't know it. That's where your voice comes in. If you or a loved one have symptoms, talk with a healthcare provider and join us in raising our voices for the millions with COPD who can't. Learn more, breathe better, at copd.nhlbi.nih.gov.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Woo! I guess for some people, with all this cold, it can be bluesy. You want to stay underneath those toasty covers. You don't want to get out of here and have to travel and go anywhere, but we got to give God thanks that he woke us up this morning, and we're going to do what we got to do in and for the Lord, right? All right. Well, we have some stuff to talk about today, so let's just get to talking, all right? Well, you know how we always do. First thing Monday morning, we get our talk on about little health stuff. And today, I thought you would be interested in knowing easy tips for sleeping with a stuffy nose. Yeah, now that we're possibly getting cold, getting those sniffles, yeah. Let's talk about some of the things that, you know, help us sleep with a stuffy nose, because it can be quite annoying. Alrighty. Well, prop yourself up. First thing they say is to prop in the head of your bed up, put stress on your side, and may help your sinuses drain easily. So they say add books or boards or anything that you need to raise that mattress. Yes. So they're not only talking about raising, you know, your pillow, you know, stacking up the pillows. They're talking about raising the mattress itself. Wow. Okay. Wow. Everybody can't afford that number there, right? Two. Use a humidifier. They say humidifiers add moisture to the air, which may have a soothing effect on your sinuses. They say this may also reduce inflammation and thin your mucus, making it easier to drain. Okay? All right. Number three. Now, this one might be a little difficult. Don't blow your nose. Wow. They say blowing your nose may cause more irritation and swelling in your sinuses, which is going to make it more difficult for you to breathe. They say instead try to blow gently or dab your nose with a clean tissue and make sure you discard the tissue and wash your hands. All right. Well, rated, they say drinking enough water while congested helps keep your mucus thinner, and they say that would allow you to breathe much easier. Sipping warm liquids such as broth and tea can help also keep you hydrated. Okay. All right. Next might be up some of your alley. Keep some spicy food next to you. Yeah, eat some spicy food. They say spicy food can make your nose run. And, hey, it helps with the congestion. Yeah. I know certain foods that, man, would make your nose run, your ears run, the top of your head come off. Yeah, so if you eat some spicy food, it will help with your congestion and to make your nose run. Okay? All right. Well, they're saying take decongestion medication. Yeah. So they say Sudafed, Claritin, and Sudafed PE, which is different than the regular Sudafed. Okay? So those help you. Okay? They say try a menthol lozenge. Yeah. That menthol, that peppermint oil, that will help decrease your nasal congestion. Okay? They say sucking off the lozenge may give you a cooling effect in your sinuses. All right? Okay. What else are we talking about? We were talking about ways to, you know, get rid of the congestion while we're avoid alcohol before bed. Now, I'm talking to a group of people that are not drinking, but just in case you do, they say avoid alcohol while sleeping. All right. It says alcohol can dehydrate. Yeah. So if they just got finished telling you to hydrate, then you can't work against it. Okay. And they say be very careful because alcohol may interfere with any medications that you're taking. So, you know, so that Claritin and that Sudafed, yeah, you really don't know how that is, how that's going to work with alcohol. And I don't care who else does it, it's your body. So we don't know how your body, okay, is going to respond to it. Avoid caffeine before you go to bed. Yes. They say that caffeine can cause frequent urination, and losing water from your body is what it will do. You know, so now, again, you're working against the advice to stay hydrated. All right, so don't drink any coffee before you go to bed. Okay. All righty. Avoid allergens. Okay. They say allergens happen when your body's immune system overreacts to something that is typically harmless to other people. And they say common allergens are pollen, house dust mites, dander, from pet and farm animals, certain fragrances, and mold. Alrighty, so remember those. Those are allergens, and they're saying try to avoid them as much as you can while you sleep. And listen, make sure you check out those pillows, how often you wash your linen. Yeah, because remember, we went over that, and it holds a lot of different allergens in your bedding. So if it's going to work against you, then you want to make sure you, you know, you clean your bed linen properly so you don't have all of those allergens you're inhaling, all right? How about gargling with some salt water? Yes. Remember now, we're talking about trying to deal with congestion while we're sleeping. So gargling with warm salt water may reduce inflammation in your throat. So that would help you be less infected. And you can sleep better. Yes. You should add a teaspoon of salt to a cup, 1 cup, 8 ounces of water. And gargle. Alrighty. Make sure it hits the back of your throat for several seconds. Wow. Pretty easy to do. Alright. Hot shower or steam. All right. Well, we know what that does. That will cook up.
Right back. Thank you so much for your patience, everyone. Pastor Steph is joining us in a few seconds.
Oh, Pastor Steph is back. Excuse the interruption. I'm technical difficulty. We were talking about how to stay from how easy tips to sleep with a stuffy nose. That's what we're talking about today. Oh, my goodness gracious. Just bear with me, please. All right. So what are we up to? We were talking about using an oil diffuser. So get that peppermint, that eucalyptus, that peach, and that thyme. Yes. And they will help you breathe easier as they will open up your passages. I'm all tongue-tied this morning. Ah, funny. Try a saline rinse. Yes. A saline rinse may help remove congestion and make your breathing easier. Okay? So, get that saline rinse solution. They sell it in the stores, they say. And they say it comes in ready-to-use bottles. So follow the instructions and get to breathing. Yes. Hopefully, if you've got that stuffy nose at night, we have just given you some little remedies. Okay? All right. So, what news are we talking about this morning? All righty, let's see. Okay, you know, we've talked about committing suicide on this broadcast quite often, you know, and how people, young and old, commit suicide, and, you know, what was on their mind, and how distraught they must have really been. Well, there's a gentleman who decided to commit suicide out in Maryland. And they say that, unfortunately, he decided to commit suicide in his condominium building. Oh, do we have to go much further to know that that did not go very well at all? They say this 36-year-old man, his body was found in the rubble after the explosion erupted. Yeah. And injuring 14 other people, severely destroying 9 other units. So, you know, they don't have, you know, any information as to why he wanted to kill himself, but they responded to an explosion. And they found that, what happened, and how many other people were affected. The autopsy that died from person's report 3 hours earlier. That was, but hard for them to actually respond because they could not readily identify this man. So, some of the injured people included 4 children, but thank God nobody else succumbed to the injuries. And, you know, they just have to work on that building. You know, the reason why I brought it up about the fact that we've talked about the, what do you call it, committing suicide is because, you know, when we want to commit suicide, generally, you know, we do things that's going to take us. You know, we're not going to cause a building to explode or a home to explode where it's going to affect other people. And in this case, that's what happened. You know, you want to commit suicide, but yet you're doing it in a building where other people are, and it says it's almost, it could have killed children. So, you know, I understand that things maybe be, you know, maybe come a little hard in life, but we definitely have to be more cognizant of how our actions affect other people. Okay, so let's get our lives together. We don't want to get to a point where we need to commit suicide anyway. You know, and this is why we talk about God here all the time, because he does make the difference. Okay, he does make the difference in our life. So thank God for the people who didn't die in that explosion. But unfortunately, his family had to be given that information after they were able to assess the entire damage and, you know, the condition of everybody in the building. Alrighty. What else are we talking about today? All right, here's a weird story. Here is a really, really weird story. So you have this family who they call the authorities, and they, you know, told them that their family member was missing. They hadn't heard from her for a period of time, and that she had her nieces and nephews with her, but they were concerned about her safety, again, because they had not heard anything from her. Well, that didn't go very well for them, because what ended up happening was when they located the family member, they arrested her. They arrested her for kidnapping the three children, ages 5, 7, and 9. And now the family, as of this news posting, was trying to fight to get her out of jail. Yes. So they said all they did was, you know, have a wellness check for them to locate her, because they said they were basically concerned about her, and they figured that the children were in good health, but they hadn't heard from her, and they just wanted to make sure she was okay. Well, I said this is really weird. You then tell the authorities that she's dealing with some level of mental health. So we're going to put the children in her care who you think is dealing with a level of mental health. And they said that, you know, arresting her was a little too much. Just a little too much. And they said that, you know, even though the children were with her when they found her and they had not been fed, that they were not looking to press any charges. They just wanted to make sure she was okay. Well, now they're in for a fight. Now they're in for a fight. The children were returned home. However, they are holding her on $300,000 bond. Now, we know murderers, people who have been accused of murdering, they're not even given that type of bond. So, you know, they don't have no $300,000. So my question is, all right, so why? Why would you actually give them to her? And when what happened was when they couldn't get her. They panicked. They panicked. That's exactly what happened. Because now the children that she has in her care, they can't fend for themselves. Well, clearly they can't fend for themselves because what? They hadn't eaten in hours. And you're trying to butter this up now because, you know, you don't want her to suffer any, you know, consequences. But you didn't put it out there already. You put it out there already. Again, children 5, 7, and 9 months, you would put those babies in the care of a person who literally has a mental illness. Well, where were your parents? Where were the parents? Well, she's still sitting in jail. She's still sitting in jail, waiting to be released. So, they don't have the money. They're fighting to get her out. And, you know, she's going to sit in there for a minute. So the police said that, you know, listen, all we do is respond. We turn them over, and now, you know, the DA and the prosecutor and all these kind of people, they get involved, and they don't have anything because they were being trashed at the fact that they arrested her. Why arrest her when we don't really call it a kidnapping or missing child? You know, they didn't say the children were missing. They said that she was missing with the kids. Well, no, that didn't go too well. So that was dumb. That was dumb to even begin with. All right? We got a couple of other stories. Well, you know, really feeling bad for this 19-year-old young lady who was working in a fast food restaurant, and she saw an individual who was clearly disabled, and it was the brother of one of her coworkers, and there was a man bothering and really, really antagonizing this young boy. She goes into the lobby to fight him off, you know, try to help him, you know, leave and get away from the young boy. And he struck her so hard, one blow in the face, and you know, she hit the ground. And unfortunately, when they took her to the emergency room, they could not save her eyes. Can you imagine one blow? Yes, they said one blow. And she went out there, and she was, you know, she said that he was really, you know, the young boy, the brother of her coworker, he really couldn't take care of himself out there. And there's no say as to where the coworker was. It doesn't say that, you know, they were on the premises or, you know, had gone out for a break. It doesn't say any of that. But she saw this little boy with special needs being abused by and antagonized and bullying by this man. And she stepped in, and only 19 years of age. Well, they have raised over $100,000 by the time this post went out. And the restaurant, the fast food restaurant, is saying that they're going to pick up the balance of whatever she may need because she had to undergo emergency surgery. You know, and this is unfortunately one of the reasons why people don't like to get involved. You know, when they see something going on, they don't want to get involved because, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens. And, like I said, she's only 19 years old. So it's not like she's, you know, an older person and she's kind of lived a life. You know, she's just getting started, really. But it just didn't matter to her what was going on. All she saw was this defenseless child with special needs. And she stepped in. She stepped in. Our news is not like earth-shattering, but it's important stuff. It's important stuff. What else are we talking about? I got one more story. One more story. Let's see what we're talking about here. Another story of a child with cerebral palsy in school. They have video as this child was in school. They were in the gym, and somehow or another, they start to bother and bully and beat on this child with cerebral palsy, all in between the bleachers. She said, the mother who saw the video said that they were jumping on him and kicking him, and they were in the gym without any supervision, clearly, because how would all of this go on if, you know, this was being supervised, if the children were being supervised? And the mother said all she heard was one whistle after quite a bit of time of this video playing. She saw one video. She heard one whistle blown, and that was it. And then they cut the videotape. But all in all, the child had to be taken to the hospital. And mom says, you know, with a leg injury, he ended up not being able to walk. Later on, when he went back home, he had an epileptic seizure. And she's not taking her kid back to that school. She says, no, I can't return my child back to that school when you allow stuff like this to go on. And I don't blame her. Well, that would be followed up with some level of lawsuit, because where were you? Where were you where someone was able to videotape all of this abuse this child was subjected to? I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine being a person, a regular person with no problem, young or old, being beat on, but a person with cerebral palsy. You know, people are heartless. They don't care. They're evil and they're mean. And when your child is in school, you surely don't expect to get your child back from a hospital. I drop you off at school, but I got to pick you up at a hospital? Nah, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. Oh, it's time to talk to my little due time crew. And who's first? Oh, as always, our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good Monday morning to you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. Oh, so glad to have you on with us. How are you doing over there?
I am doing well, sending very warm thoughts your way, because it is chilly outside.
It sure is, and it's like the wind chill factor is making it so much worse. Oh, my goodness gracious. But thank God we're warm and toasty. And we talked about a few stories here today. Well, we can talk about the suicidal man who decided to blow up the building and take others with him, but thank God no one else was killed. We can talk about the young lady whose family entrusted their children into that 5, 7, and 9 months old, and when they reported her missing, when she was picked up, they charged her with kidnapping, and she's under a $300,000 bond. We can talk about that 19-year-old young lady who lost her eye defending her co-worker's brother in the lobby of their little fast food restaurant from, you know, a bully. Or we can talk about them kids over in the school beating up the child who has cerebral palsy, and mom says, I can't take my child back to that school. Which one are we talking about?
No, I'm always going to be a one for defending the child, you know. And in the world that we live in today, it's very, you have to be real careful, you know. I've had instances where I've seen things outside and, you know, you start thinking, like, I remember one time I remember seeing some children chasing one child. One was on a bike, one was running, and they had cornered him, and he was, you know, they inched him up against the fence, you know, and I was like, hey, leave him alone, you know, and they were still proceeding, and I stepped between the two of them, you know, and then after I stepped between the two of them, then I was like, oh, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And, you know, it made me nervous because I was like, okay, what if I now become a target by defending him? But ironically, right after that, I started hearing a siren, a police siren. And I said to them, I will call the cops right now. I will scream as loud as I possibly can. Leave this young man alone. Leave him alone, you know, and in that case, I thank the Lord because, of course, initially I started praying, oh, God, I got in here without thinking. Now I need to know him.
Right.
You know, and I know that God listened to me years, and ironically at that same time, you know, he was allowing, you know, the siren to just go off, you know, and I was grateful for that. You know, in a situation where you're trying to defend somebody and they hit you so hard, they knock, you know, they mess your eye up. You'll never be able to see out of that eye again. You know, that is truly something.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, so many people have lost their lives, you know, stepping in on behalf of other people, you know, and here this, you know, young lady, like you said, she didn't even think about it. She didn't even think about it, but definitely not thinking, you know, she was going to lose her eye, you know, so. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, she says she doesn't regret it, and she would do it again. So we're giving God thanks for even her, you know, her tenacity, her courage. That you know, it doesn't matter to me right now. I'll, you know, if I see somebody else getting hurt, I'll step in again. And like you said, so many people would possibly not be involved. You know what I'm saying? So, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's talk to our girl, Pastor Beat. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today, my love, and everyone else?
I am well. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay this morning. I thank the Lord. Excuse me.
Amen. Amen. So what are we talking about today? What story are you pulling out today?
I went to go to the gym where they beat up the baby.
Okay, yes.
There was no supervision, no adult, nobody in there. And they just so happened that the children, who was doing the filming? You know me. I'm always there. Who was doing the filming at the time?
He's got some phones. Who else?
Well, sometimes, you know, for if you have a gym full of children, somebody is responsible. I'm talking about adults. Somebody
right.
is responsible for them to be in there, right? So did you make, was this a habit that you walk out? Is this a habit that they are, the teachers are not there to know, for the kids to know, we got time to beat him up and to film it and not to get caught?
Absolutely.
So you knew how much time, huh? I'm sorry.
I said, absolutely.
Right? So to think about that, and then was it something, a spare the moment, or did y'all have this plan? You know, for nobody, no adult walked past the gym. And no, I would not bring my kid back, but I'll sue everybody. Everybody's going down.
You know, Pastor Charlene, I thought about the same thing. I'm like, how would the kids know that they would have enough time to do this to this boy? And you know what? Pastor Charlene, since when do they intermingle disabled children with regular children?
Mm-hmm.
And leave them,
right.
And then leave them. How does that even happen? So right now, that's carelessness on the administration part. Why are these two sets of children in the same classroom or gym or why? When do you? I have never known them, never known a school or anybody. Where was the staff? Because that's what I wanted to know. That they got to a point where they were kicking and beating his kids like that? I don't know, Pastor Shaw.
Mm-hmm. And they also, too, they normally have, like you said, they never together. They normally have separate entrance of dismissal. They also, you know, so it's like a lot of plays with that. And then they always have multiple teachers. I mean, they have one main teacher, but then they have help as well, right?
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How could this occur? Big time negligence.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. It's just inexcusable. Really, really inexcusable. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's point it to our Pastor KL. On the Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well. Okay.
That's good to hear.
We have had greetings quite a time. We say that you're doing quite well.
Yes, ma'am.
What story did you walk in on?
I walked in on that last story that Pastor Shalom was just talking about.
Okay, would you like to comment?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, one of my questions is, as you say, that the law enforcement should be involved. I think that the one that's videotaping should go to jail. So, I mean, because even though you didn't beat or participate in it, you recorded this whole thing. For what? And instead of going over there and breaking this up, you thought it would be entertainment to videotape it. You know, and like everybody keeps saying, where's the staff? You know, how is it that I have enough time to pull out my camera, focus, videotape it, and then edit it? You know what I mean? Where after the first whistle, the video goes off. Really? I got a lot of time to do all this. Yeah, I think the law enforcement should definitely be involved. And you know, you say that they don't want the child to go back to that school. I mean, that child probably don't want to go back to no school at that point.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. They've been talking about there's a big issue going on with a moral issue. If people are challenging that you would sooner videotape than help. So this is one of the children, I'm sure, you know, with the videotape, and you know, they're ready to pull out their cameras at any given moment. And my thing was, why you couldn't go get help also while you were videotaping? You know, like you said, even a child, you know, could have done something more than videotape. Also, I agree with the last statement where he doesn't want to go back to anybody's school, because already if this child has cerebral palsy, you already don't know their anxiety and what, you know, makes them fearful or what they're fearful of. And here you are now with him being beaten up to this degree, where later it causes him to have a seizure and his leg is all messed up, so he has to go to the emergency room. So it's like, yo, you know, I wouldn't want to go back either. So I agree that she's probably got a bigger fight on her hands as the mother than she's even anticipating, because they probably really, really, you know, don't want, you know, he doesn't want to go back to the school. So you're absolutely right. I happen to agree with you. Let's talk quickly about this. I want to commit suicide, but instead of swallowing some pills or, you know, shooting myself or, you know, causing harm to myself directly and only to myself, I actually do something that is toxic to everyone around me. So they say that when they did the autopsy, they found that he died from burns and smoke inhalation. So clearly, you know, if there's an explosion, there had to be something going on with gas or whatever have you. You know, Pastor Charlene, you know, what's to say for, you know, you going to take your life and everybody else's?
When you was talking, I had caught the ending of that, and when you was talking about it, it reminded me my mom's building had blew up. A lady had turned the gas on, and they never said if she did it on purpose or not, and the whole building, a lot of lives had been taken with that. I just thank the Lord that at that time, my mom, I thought she would have been home, but she ended up stopping and talking to somebody, and that's what saved her. So my thought was, when that even happened, that, like you said, why you just don't take you, but you end up taking with so many people with you, and when you do it, is it that you didn't want to go alone? Did you have a problem with the people in the building? You know, and it questioned a lot of people of, why did you have to do it that way, per se, right? So my thought is, you know, I'm sorry?
No, you're right. You're right.
And my thought was of that, even though is it that you are mad at one person, you know, in the building, so a lot of times we don't never know why people do what they do, right? But I'm with you. Just take you, because it's going to affect people anyway, and if that's what you're trying to do. But I always think that it is it somebody within the building, you know, somewhere with people involved inside the building itself. Is that why you did that as well? Well, I'm just going to take everybody. And then you have, I don't care. I don't care. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this you have to have an I don't care attitude. Pastor KL, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, it's bad enough that your family is and your friends are going to be affected by, you know, your suicide, but now other people also in the building you don't even care about. You don't care about anyone in your surroundings.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, but listen, when you've given up on you, you know, you don't really care about nobody else. I mean, the fight for you is gone. So you're not even... Listen, to have a suicidal thought of mind, you're already unstable. So with that within itself, since you're already unstable, you're not thinking about nobody else. You know, they went up on my rent. Now everybody got. You know what I mean? Or whatever the thing is. You know, I lost my job. I did this. I did that. I'm ready to kill me. I've gone through one thing after another, after another, after another. I can't take it no more. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's time to go. And whoever gets caught in the crossfire, I guess I will be in the holding area together.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you don't care about anybody else. If you don't care about yourself, you don't care about anybody else. You're absolutely right. Tamika, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, other people, including children. They say 9 other units in this building was totally destroyed. So, you know, what are you doing now? You're now taking everybody else with you? You really don't care about anybody else.
Yeah, you know, that takes the whole idea of, you know, going out with a bang, you know, or boom or whatever that case is, you know, to a totally different level. You know, the fact that you did it there were plenty of other places, you know, you could have taken pills, you know, in the comfort of your home, you know, but I don't know if you did it, you know, for memory, you know, oh, well, you know, that's something to talk about. And I mean, my thing is, regardless of how you did it, it's going to be talked about. But, you know, for you to do yourself and other people, that is ridiculous. You took out other units, somebody else's, you know, I'm thankful to God that nobody else died because of your negligence, you know. But then my thing is also not just the lives, everybody now has to start over. I mean, the other units perfected. Now we all have to start off because you decided to take your life. Now, you know, whatever it is that I love, you know, in my home, things that were ruined, you know, I can't get those things back, you know. And so it wasn't just you, it's all of this stuff, all of these different lives that were affected by you because of whatever it is that you were going through. You took yourself out and all of these other things. I'm just grateful that no one else was affected in the process, meaning physically, you know, their lives. They still have their lives. They may have lost things, but things in a sense can be replaced. You may not get the same item, but most of what you've lost, you can gain more.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, just prayers for, you know, this Maryland incident. You know, it just makes me realize why God has us praying so much, so often, because people are really not in a good frame of mind. You know, so we got to keep this prayer going, because if not, can you imagine if we weren't praying? Oh, good Lord. What would happen? What would happen? Thank you for indulging me on our news stories. Well, today's relationship conversation, which is a little interesting to me. I did look through some of the points, and I was like, oh, okay. They say things that women should stop doing by the third month of a relationship. Now, I don't know if people are really counting this thing out here, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 1 month, 2 months. I don't know how they're supposed to arrive at the fact that they are at a three-month benchmark, but I'm going to go through some of this stuff because I don't know if you agree or you don't agree. All right, so they say one thing that a woman should stop doing as of the third month in a relationship, stop being so indecisive. By this point, you know, with this, having spent all this time with this person, you shouldn't be so indecisive anymore. What do you think about that one, Tamika?
Ooh, that is, that's my outright pet peeve anyway. We decided, you know, we talked about before, whereas, you know, you're walking down the street with somebody, you're holding hand in hand, and all of a sudden you just decide to veer off entirely, you know. You're not giving anybody any direction. You just, you know, I can't follow you if you don't know what you're doing, you know. If we're stepping across the street, then we're stepping across the street, you know, and to constantly do that, that would drive me crazy. You're talking about a relationship, ooh, that's a really bad thing. And whatever it is, if you've got issues with that, try to control that, because that'll drive somebody loony.
Wow. All righty. Pastor Charlene, as of the third month, you should no longer be as indecisive as you were.
Well, I, as a woman, I'm indecisive all the time, so I you just never know with me. So it don't make sense to both of us. So I'm going to say I disagree on the man's side, but I know how I am sometimes. So I don't know what they, how to answer that because I know myself.
Okay, so in other words, you're not just saying that, you know, if you're indecisive by the third month, a woman shouldn't be changing because that's what she is. That's who she is.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okie dokie. Pastor KL, that woman at the third month benchmark, she should stop being so indecisive. Do you agree?
I agree. Let your yays be yays and your nays be nays. I agree. You know, I want a hamburger. No, I want a cheeseburger. No, I want pickles. No, I don't want nothing on it. You know, or listen, watch this. This is the worst thing that a man wants. You go to the restaurant and we order some food. Hey, babe, what you want? Anything you want. Okay. She ordered her food, now she's eating your food. You didn't ask for this on my plate. You asked for it on your plate. We're not sharing my plate. Every man hates that.
Wow. All righty. Well, they say at the third month mark of dating this man, it's okay to put away the makeup. Ooh, Pastor Charlene, do you agree?
Yes, I do. I think that he should see who you really are, and know what he is dealing with.
All righty, Pastor KL. Should she put that makeup away?
I want to see your ugly the first month. Don't wait for 3 months for me to really think this is who you are. I don't have that kind of time. Don't play with my emotions like that. Now, all of a sudden, 90 days in, we take off lashes. We take out the weave. I thought this was your hair. We take out the weave. We take off the makeup. The butt pads come off. I just don't know who you are anymore. Let me see that in the first 30 days so I can decide whether they're going to be 90 days.
All righty. Lady Tamika, what say you? At 3 months, you should be putting that makeup away.
I would agree with Pastor KL. Depending on how you are, you know, if you're a person who, you know, from time to time you wear makeup and, you know, time to time you don't, it's okay. But if you start taking off everything, you might criticize the man. You know, he's like, wait a minute. Well, who is this? You know, he comes over and you decide you're not going to wear makeup at all. He opened up the door. Baby, who is this? You know, or he opens up the door. You know, he gets there and he's like, yeah, I'm just waiting for Karen. I am Karen. No, you're not. Let's not do that. You know, there's nothing wrong with, but at least give him a little bit, you know, because I'm one of those people, you know, most of the time I don't wear makeup. But every now and then I like to, you know, spice it up with a little something. But don't traumatize the man by taking everything off. Just don't wear something at a time to get him aware of who he's dealing with. All righty. Well, here's one that I'm kind of wondering what you're going to think. They say that at the three-month mark, you should find a balance at the amount of effort you're putting into the relationship. Wow. Pastor KL, we're going to start with you.
No, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Because, you know, for a man or for a woman, you try to go all out and, you know, bring your best foot forward and, you know, do everything you can for a relationship. That's tiring, though. Because in reality, after a while, we're not going to have that same energy. So something's going to slip. And then what happens is that either you spoil someone rotten because they think that you want to give them your undivided attention all the time. And now reality sits in where I got to work. Reality sits in where the baby's leaving. Reality sits in. And now the other side is frustrated because this is not what I got in the beginning.
Wow. Okay. Tamika, what are we talking about here? After 3 months, you should now find this balance with how much effort you put into the relationship.
Yeah, I think that is important. Balance is crucial, you know, because, you know, I can't always answer my phone. You know, I'm working, you know, Pastor KL has mentioned, you know, many times, you know, his wife works in the medical field, you know, and there are times when you just cannot reach her, you know. And so, you know, if you're giving that all, so every time, you know, that he texts or she texts, you know, you're sending, sometimes you can send the wrong message. You know, I need you to know that there are times that there is some unavailability, you know, and, you know, try not to give your everything, your all that very first time, because what ultimately you may be sending is that I'm always available and you're always accessible to me. And, you know, it can send that wrong message because the one time that you're not available, now this fast, now I can't reach you, I can't, you know, those type of things, it can cause. So you make that balance from the get-go, you know, hey, this is me, this is what I am available, this is what I can do, this is what I will do, this is what I won't do, so that they know.
All righty. Pastor Charlene, would you agree or disagree?
I think that you don't wait to 3 months from the very beginning. When y'all go on that first couple of dates, sit down and this is what I will and won't. I agree with Lady Tamika because what you see is what you get. So a lot of times when we hide it and like she was, you know, both of them were saying, you know, being so available, when that time do come, now devastation comes in. So therefore, do it before 3 months. Put it on the table. Everybody put your cards on the table so you know who they are.
All righty. Well, they're saying after 3 months or at 3 month mark, they say, question your partner's decisions. That might not have been something you started off doing, but by this time, you should be doing that thing. What do you say, Tamika?
There's a way to do it. I think that you have to be cautious and careful. You know, you don't just come out and start. How you pay your bills like that, you know? So you start, you know, you have to be very careful on how you do that. Tread lightly. You know, I think there is a way that you can do it. But also, you know, here's the situation, you know. In some situations, how do you know that you're going to last after the 3 months? I think that you should take your time, you know, and learn the person that you're dealing with so that you can engage in those conversations. Don't just come out and, you know, flat-footed, because you can cause a irritation and you can cause a person to backpedal in the same instance.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, after three months, you can now, you know, question his decisions. Agree?
I would say it really depends on what it is. And the reason I say that is because how do you see this, you know, this relationship? Because in 3 months, everybody's still, you're meeting the representative, you know, so it's still going to take some time. And I wouldn't want you to ask me nothing, not at 3 months. So, because I don't even know where we're going with this. So that's where I'm at right now. Eh?
Okay. Pastor KL, is 3 months a fine time to start questioning his decisions or her decisions?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, if I'm sitting down in your living room and you call me to the table and you put something on the table that don't look edible, I'm going to ask you, you going to eat that? Because I got to ask you to make sure, because you're going to expect me to eat it after that. So sometimes your decision can affect me. So if I know you can't cook, I want to know if you're going to try it first. Because, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. Mm-mm.
Wow. Okay, okay. All right. What about this one? They say at 3 months, you should stop thinking that you need to have a fancy date night. Pastor Charlotte, would you agree? Always should have a fancy date night, at least once a month. So that way you keep the fire interesting if that's who you want to be with. So I say yes. Okay, okay. Pastor KL, no fancy date night after 3 months?
No, I think you should always have a fancy date night. It don't have to be an expensive date night. But it could always be fancy, and you know, and fancy is what you make of it. And, you know, if it comes from the heart, if you have some candles at the house and, you know, some ravioli on the good china, you know, that's a fancy day night. You know, okay. You're all right.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, Tamika, what do you think? Fancy date night still at 3 months?
I'm still trying. I'm trying to figure out who creates these lists, because it's like, you know, okay, so we done been 3 months in. I'm not wearing makeup, and we ain't cooking nothing. We ain't doing nothing fancy. We just going to be blah for the rest of eternity. No, that's not how it works. We keep the fire going. You know, every now and then, do a little something different. Put a little extra makeup. You know, wear a wig. You know, do something, you know, different. You know, let's go out. You know, or maybe let's not go. You know, let's get dressed fancy and not go anywhere, you know, do the candles and, you know, the Lipton cup of soup, whatever the case may be, you know. But you do what it is that makes things work for you. All right, all right. Well, okay, I got a question. Does this one hit the scale? Stop skipping dessert on dates. Now that you done shown that representative, now you can start ordering dessert, Pastor KL.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I missed the question. You said now that after the 3 months, we're not ordering dessert, or now we're ordering dessert?
Right. They say don't skip that dessert now.
Well, no. Well, you know what? Desserts are overrated. You know, a slice of cheesecake could be $7. We didn't live that already. You know. I'm watching out for your figure. You might not need that dessert today. You know what I mean? That dessert got to be every third day. I just can't afford it no more.
All righty. Tamika, you want to skip out on that dessert after 3 months? You want to put that back on your plate?
I wasn't skipping out on a dessert the first time, you know, because my thing is I need you to understand that I have a hearty appetite, and it's not changing. If anything, it might get larger. You know, I need you to understand. When it comes to food, I'm not giving you the representative. I'm not sitting there, you know, I just have a little bit of this. And you sitting there at the table, your stomach is going, you know, being really disrespectful. I'm not doing that. I need you to understand, day one, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat my meal. And after I finish, I'm going to eat a dessert. And if you can't afford the $7 dessert, not a problem. I got it.
All right now. Pastor Charlotte.
My kind of woman.
You know, after 3 months, you don't have to skip dessert no more.
Well, I'm going to eat how I eat. I am not that salad chick anyway. So therefore, I done ate my meal. I done had appetizer. I'm going to have my dessert and whatever else, and want to take some home. Now, if you can't feed me, then you can't date me. So we ain't even going to make 3 months.
My goodness gracious. She said she also want a bag to take home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Because that's how you find out where they stand. Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean, Okay, so tell me. So what does that mean when you say you find out where they stand? What does that mean if they don't say anything about your hearty appetite and date?
When they go, when they say, oh, you can get whatever you want, and they act like they got all this money, well, I'm going to push you to the test. I'm going to put you to the test. And so, therefore, don't start like, oh, pennies and like Pastor Gail said, start picking in my plate. Don't do that. Don't do that. I went on a date one time, and it was a blind date, and he took me to the – I thought he was taking me to a nice restaurant because he acted like he had a lot of money. He took me to that Chinese one that got the pictures up on the wall, and then he ordered – I ordered because I was hungry, but I always had my own money. And when we get there, he didn't order nothing. And then he wanted to get in my plate. That's a no for me. You never get another – you won't get a second of anything when it comes to my food. And don't tell me how to eat. I'm going to look at the whole menu. Sure. Don't say just look on this side of the menu. I only can, then you can't take me out. And I let you know from the beginning. Bring your whole check because I'm hungry.
Pastor Charlotte?
Yeah, hold on.
Pastor Charlotte, let me just put a disclosure out there for the women who's listening to you. You know, men is only going to ask you on the first date. Maybe you could have anything you want. You know, and then once we watch how you eat, the next time we downsize the restaurant because we know that you're just too expensive. So that day you got me. You know what I'm saying? When we go to an all-you-can-eat and you eat it all, we got issues. You know, so the next week or the next day, we go downsize. So if we went to Red Lobster today, we're going to go to Chili's next time. If you eat too much in Chili's, we're going to bring it down to Burger Bonds. If you eat too much at Burger Bonds, McDonald's we go.
Check this out. I ain't going on another date because I'm going to let you know from the beginning. That's what I said. When any time anybody asks to take me out to eat, I'm going to let you know I'm not that salad girl. And this is what I want. And if you don't make it, sorry, because I know how to pay for my own food and get up and walk out too, you know.
So I have a question. So, Pastor KL, you said that if you eat it all, does that mean ordering for the whole, you know, off that whole menu? Or does that mean if you finish and wipe clean your plate? Because I've heard that as well. Which one are you talking about?
There you go, yeah. I say if you order anything. You know, you want appetizers, and then you want double appetizers. Then you want the salad and the soup, you know, before you even order the meal. Listen, get some bread. Fill up off this bread right here. We're going to be all right.
No way. That's why you like the little baby.
Right, they ain't eating nothing. Yeah,
because
once they eat that salad,
okay,
they
all right. Well, let me ask the lady something. When did we miss the point where a woman would go out on a date and be dainty? You know, now we eat like a man. Before, you know, we used to want to be cute and, you know, look good. And y'all used to go on dates just to look good. You know what I mean? You would eat a little something. But now y'all eating more than we eat. We can't afford to eat with you.
Well, I never ate to look good. I've always been had a hearty appetite, like a man.
Wait, why is it that if we eat, we're looked at as eating like a man? Where does that come from?
Okay, so what I'm saying is that back in the day, in our day, so we're all of age, you guys didn't go out and give me the steak, give me the this, give me that. No, I'm not hungry. I'm just going to have this, I have that. Now it's like, oh, you said I could have anything? I'm going to eat everything. You know, you guys purposely go out to get in the pockets or to see how much money you got, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times, you know, the folks who, the women who do it don't even eat it all. And they say, do you want to carry out a box to go? No, I'm okay. No, you take it at home. Somebody in your family going to eat it. You take it at home.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think that's false anyway, where when women went out, they only ordered salad. I don't know women like that. When they went out to eat, when they ordered off the menu what they wanted. There was no, like I said, I've heard, men say, she said, I only take a salad, and he's heard her stomach growling, or he knew, she was more hungry than that. But I never knew anybody like that who went to the restaurant and pretended. They ordered, now they may not have ordered, everything, appetizer and an entree and then a dessert. But the women that I knew, they always went out to eat and they ate okay. I'm just trying to figure out why, if you don't eat a salad, you are eating like a man. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Where did that analogy come from?
There were women that
go ahead, Samantha.
I'm sorry.
You can explain it.
There were women that I knew that used to eat before they went to go out to eat with whomever they were going out with, and then they would come home and gorge whatever else because they were hungry when they went. They ate most of the time a salad, and then they came home and ate. And I used to tell them, I'm not going through all of that, but there are some women that are out there, I don't want to, like even what you eat. I don't want to eat spaghetti because, spaghetti has, that occurrence to spillage, you drip a little something. Oh, I don't want to eat broccoli. There were women, and there's still some out there that's, I don't want that. I don't want to do that, or whatever, but my thing is, I'm not giving you the representative when it comes to food. What you see, my dear, is exactly what you get now and forever. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so wait. You were I asked you about the comparison to eating like a man if you didn't order a salad, and you were about to explain.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that it necessarily had to be the salad. You could have got a nice chicken dinner. You know what I mean? It don't have to be the 20, 25 or 32, plate with steak. You don't eat steak on a regular. It's like people who have EBT cards. You go in the supermarket and you buy stuff that you can eat on a regular. So now because you're on my dime, this is all the stuff that you want to eat. I'm just not understanding this. If I come to your house for dinner, you got pulling out steak. You got pulling out lobster. You know what I mean? We probably going to have chicken strips, or chicken back. And now because we going out, you want to act crazy and lavish. And then women want to be bougie. Just like Tamika was talking about the spaghetti. They don't want to eat the spaghetti because it got soft and stuff like that. They don't even realize you're supposed to have a spoon and a fork, so that you can twirl it in the spoon. These folks don't know how to eat. So you take it up to the restaurant, and they looking like crackheads, but they want to order the more expensive stuff. You can't crack a lobster. You can't crack a crab leg. But this is what you sucking this crab leg through a straw, making me look crazy. No, but this is what you want to eat.
Well, from what I've been told, we have a comment. Men do that more in restaurants than women do. So I guess it's okay if the men are doing the ordering and they do that, Pastor K.L.?
They do what? I missed that. They do what? What do we do more than women?
I guess the ordering issue of, they order more expensive, or things on the menu that they would not necessarily eat. And it says that men eat that more than women. Oh, they're paying for it. Y'all, really? Really?
If I'm paying for it, I can order what I want. Wait, what do we really? Who's paying for the meal?
No, but wait a minute.
If I mess watch this. Wait. If I mess over the meal, and I decide I don't want to eat it or take a doggy bag, I've lost the meat. because that's what I decided to order. But if you order this stuff knowing you can't finish this stuff, or knowing you don't know how to eat it, or knowing that you're in public so you can't pick up that chicken leg with your hand like you do at home and play over it, then I'm at a loss, not you.
Okay, so we're not going to talk about the women that order the food that know they're not going to eat it, because that's just stupid. I don't care who does it. It's stupid. I don't care who's paying the bill. No. That's dumb. Okay, so we ain't talking about that part. We're talking about the part where you said, you know, ordering something off the menu, you know, that you wouldn't normally order, and you're saying because you pay for it. So then why take me to a restaurant hoping that I don't eat a 32-ounce porterhouse steak? Why? Why even go there? Why are we even taking me out?
Well, because in my foolishness in my former days, I was trying to impress. Listen, I don't care how well you speak and how well you dress, a man knows what he has in his pocket. So if he's hearing that you're going to only spend $15 and I spend $20, then we got enough in my pocket. But if you're spending the $30 and I can only spend $20 on mine, then somebody washing some dishes. Then it ain't going to be me.
You know what? I'm glad you're married and off the market. But it's that, I'm serious, and I hope a whole lot of y'all are off the market. It said that women pay the bills more. They pay for the food bill more than men do. So I guess there goes your statistics. So maybe that's why.
I think that's wrong, but okay, a woman probably said that. But I think that's wrong.
Okay.
If you're trying to impress, and I got a question. If as a man, if he's trying to impress, because you said back in the former days, right, trying to impress, and she's trying to, right, but then who, here we go with the representative. If you can't take her out, if you ain't got but so much money, wait till that second check come if you only got $30. Why do you want to take her out and then you want to tell her, you want to tell me how much I can eat?
And while I totally agree with you, sometimes I can't afford to wait for the second check because I might lose you. I'm not gonna let y'all beat up on me today. I'm not gonna do that. I'm trying to help the lady. I've invested too much. If I'm on the phone with Pillow Talk and I'm saying all the right things that you want to hear, now I have to come up. I have to take it to the next level. Now I have to take you somewhere that's equated to the things that I'm saying to you.
Well, then that's
I can't
your
wait for the
fault,
second check, because I got you now.
No, you know
you're
what?
Right. I'm
playing
the
game.
I didn't say it wasn't my fault.
You played the game and
I didn't
not
say
a
it
game
wasn't my
playing
fault.
You.
No. I never
listen,
played that.
And I don't feel sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for anybody.
You know,
first of all, here's the problem. You about to take me on the first date and you already talking pillow talk, and she's on the phone with you, she's stupid, period. Because now you allowing
you know
this man to put the pillow
you know
talk
what?
In your ear? Nah. Okay, so if you let him
just
put the pillow talk in your ear, then you deserve to pay for everything that you presented, because that's also called putting your foot in your mouth. So you eat it. So not only is she eating, but so are you. So shut up and pay the bill. You just set yourself up for that. Who feels sorry for you?
You know what?
Nah.
You know what? Just turn my mic off right now. Turn my mic off.
No. You went. It's like, yo, you set up the whole thing. Now I done made her think
that I'm about it. And now we get to the restaurant and I'm holding my breath because I couldn't wait for the second check for her to order a $60 meal. So she about to order a $60 meal on my $30 pocket. And now I'm going to criticize her for the way she eats. Oh, so you eat that bill, baby.
Listen, a player knows how to fix that, baby. Listen, I've been here before. That steak really ain't that good. You don't want that one.
You know what?
Right here,
does that
I
work for you, Pastor Charlotte?
This is great.
Would
no,
that work for you?
Let me try it for myself because now I'm going to order. Especially if I know you're going to be cheap. Oh, I'm going to order it. Guys. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, Pastor Charlotte.
That's
you.
That's a
and then when I get after I eat it and he ain't got it, I'm gonna pay for my food and I'm gonna tell him and have a nice day. And he will never ever see me again. And I'm gonna tell every female that I see him with or know they're trying. Let me tell you what he did to me. And don't think that
no.
Pastor Charlotte. He just said, and that's a Christian. See, that's what the Christians get for talking to the non-Christians, because he's trying to be a player. He's a punk, and he can't handle what his mouth puts out there. So you know what? Give it to him, Pastor Charlotte. Yes, tell him I want to
wait,
sure that I don't like this meal for myself.
Pastor Steph, in the world, in the words of Albino, in the words of our bottom, be careful how you talk to me, okay? Be careful.
Oh, my goodness. Great evening. Oh, my goodness.
And ladies, because he tried to bring him in, so we bashing him. And ladies, always make sure if he ain't got the money, don't go, baby. Let me let you know. You might run into another person that's just like Pastor KL in his former days.
Well, I'm going to say this. So that's Pastor Charlotte's advice. My advice is don't let him talk the pillow talk to you before you go out on the first date until y'all ready to get married. How you talking pillow talk to me? And we ain't even been on the first date. You talking pillow talk? Ladies, run. Run fast because he ain't going to be nothing and nobody. Well, to close this out, there was the server who said the women pay more often. So, it was a woman, but it was a woman server. So whose credit card gets passed across that table? Whose dollars are being pulled out of the pocketbook? So wrong. All right. No, this was a great conversation. Thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day. Eat them out of house and home, Pastor Charlotte.
You know
it. Oh, my goodness. We are so past our little hour here. But you know what time it is at the top of a Monday morning. Let's say good morning to our girl, Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning, Pastor Steph.
I bet you wish you were in on that conversation.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm tired of being cut out of these conversations.
We want you to focus on your switch tip. What do you have for us today?
Oh, man. Today I got the switch with Shanti, so we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And it's crazy because this switch tip I have had on reserve for a long time now. Our switch tip 127 is don't fall in love with convenience. And This one stuck out to me this morning because of a long conversation I had to have with God last night. I couldn't even really, like, get into, like, an official prayer. I had to just straight talk to God last night. And it's crazy because it was on this whole convenience thing. And I'm going to try to make this real brief because I know we short on time now. This whole convenience thing had a lot to do with the tail end of your conversation with the crew, Pastor Steph. And I was one, I'm the server who said that. So yes, I got tired of the men being vocal and ignorant, but then it's the woman's credit card that gets put in the black book, okay? When you understand what convenience is, one of the definitions is freedom from discomfort and ease. And when I read the definition, the verse, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And that's taken from 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Living Translation. For some reason, that verse just immediately popped up in my head. And I'm believing this because, you know, of course, I'm a Christian. And when you give your life and you become baptized, immediately Jesus starts the transformation. Even if you haven't noticed it, even if you're not paying attention to it, whether you feel, see it, or hear it, the transformation has started. And when you're living in this world, you're trained to live in, like, free from discomfort. You're trained to dodge and dip the difficulties of life. And I said to someone a few weeks ago, like, this life we live is difficult, either side. Whether you choose to live for the enemy, whether you choose to live for God, there's trials and tribulations that you're going to come across. However, when you choose to live for God, there is a guarantee that you will be saved. There is a guarantee that there is cushions from every angle to soften the blow, even when it doesn't seem like, especially when it doesn't seem like it. Versus when you live for the enemy, when you live for the world, and you're faced with those trials and tribulations, that's a whole different type of trial and tribulation that you face on a daily. There's no preparation for it. There's no hope in it. There's no, oh, can you help me with this? Because the enemy is going to help you get into it, but he's not going to help you get out of it. Okay, now convenience equals laziness, equals procrastination, and just like this conversation that just ended brought up, convenience equals manipulation. And the definition of manipulate is to control or influence a person or situation cleverly, unfairly, and unscrupulously. And I had to admit to God after he revealed to me again last night that there was a whole lot of laziness, procrastination. And remember, God gave a switch tip a long time ago, stop procrastinating. And a whole lot of manipulation that is going on because you're trying to live in comfort, because you're trying to live in ease. And Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus tells us in New Living Translation, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Living in convenience makes you settle. It makes you settle for that man. It makes you settle for that woman. It makes you settle for all of the things that the world tries to condition your mind to settle for. The way you think you should live, the things you think you should have by a certain age. It just makes you settle. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they hate, and if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. And Jesus told us that in John 15:18-21 in the New Living Translation. We cannot settle. If you call yourself a Christian, that means you're going to have to put your big girl panties on and your grown man boxers on and be ready to fight, knowing that God has your back. You cannot, the more you try to dip and dodge trials and tribulation, the more you try to live in comfort, the more you try to find the gate that many travel. You try to find the road that many travel so you can be on Easy Street. And Easy Street leads you straight to hell. Easy Street says I'm not going to stand up for God. I'm not going to stand up for Jesus. I'm going to still try to fit into this world that God strategically plucked me out of because he no longer wants me to be conditioned to this world. Revelation 13, 8 through 9. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 10b, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. We have to make sure we're making the conscious decision of making the switch from falling in love with convenience to being ready to face whatever it is that God has for us. And as simple as this conversation may sound, because I fell right up into it, and then I became the manipulator, because it's so easy to live in comfort. It's so easy when you think, you know what, because living in convenience also says, what can I get out of this? What can I, and that's what I really had to talk to God about. I sat and was dealing with people where it was like, well, what can I get out of Shantice? So much to the point where I internalized it, and now it's like, well, what can I get out of them? God gets no glory in that. So we have to make sure we're not falling in love with convenience. We're not falling in love with comfortability. We're not falling in love with ease, because pay attention to how all of that gets twisted up, and now you're sitting on the opposite side, and now you're on the same road with the rest of the world that equals to hell and death. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Ah, thank you, Shantice. The title of your switch tip again is?
Don't fall in love with convenience.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. Ah, let's get that benediction in. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. Wow, we can always rely on the Due Time crew to give us a little spicy conversation, and how these conversations go and take its own little twist and turn. You know, Shanti said something about manipulation, and that's what I was thinking about when Pastor Kale was talking. You know, it's the manipulating. You know, he specifically said that, you know, men will, you know, say some things and they throw their game down, their word game down, so that, you know, they can get you to where they need to get you. And, you know, then you go to the restaurant and you challenge them, Pastor Charlotte said. And now, you know, Pastor KL says, I couldn't wait. You know, Pastor Charlotte gave a very good level of advice, men. You know, so just wait till you can afford it. You know, wait for that second check. You know, keep the regular getting to know you conversation going. And then by the time that second check of the month comes and you can, you know, really take her out, you know, to give her a good time that she should be able to order what's on the menu that she wants. That's good advice. But yet, as Pastor KL said, I didn't jam myself up because I didn't put it out there. I'm worrying about losing you. So I say take the loss or hold your tongue. Hold your tongue so you can live up to what you said, or either take the hit. If she's meant for you, then she ain't going nowhere. You know, she'll wait that second check, because I'm sure if she knew the real deal, that you were just playing her to begin with, then, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, an issue for her to wait, because she would see some value in waiting. And again, you know, we have to be real careful of, you know, how and what we say. You know, last week I told the story of indirectly learning to be a woman of my word. And that's what we need to practice as Christian people. Be a person of your word. You know, don't lay out this whole fantasy of what I'm interested in doing if that's not what you're really interested in doing. Because my thing is there should be no contingencies. You know, there should be any contingencies anywhere. Is contingent on when you take me out after you offer to take me out, you know, but there's a contingency that you can't really eat. And I'm sitting across the table holding my breath and crossing my fingers hoping that you don't order, you know, the more expensive thing. You know, certain people do things certain way. You know, certain people are like what Pastor Charlene described. Other people are like what Pastor KL and Tamika described, where they're going to pretend like they ain't hungry. She going to eat before she get there. And now that the date didn't lasted 5 hours, she's starving because she didn't eat at the table. And now she's going home and she's, you know, gorging everything that's in the refrigerator. Or there's some people who are just honest and just level, you know. He wants to take me out for a good time, so, you know, I'll order something moderate. Either way, you have to understand that you don't know who you're dealing with. Excuse me. You don't know what frame of mind that person is in. Because I'm going to tell you something. Somebody invite me out to dinner. I ain't eaten before and not eat there or eat some salad because I need to look a certain way. And then I'm going home, you know, 5 hours later, and now I can't even concentrate on what you're saying right now because I'm so hungry. I need to eat. There's nothing godly in that either. That's another lie that's being told and another facade that's being, you know, put out there. You know, is this what we're doing? Because a lot of these scenarios is ungodly. And we know how the streets play the game. But we are here to help you understand that there are ways that God's people operate. And God's people won't put out the representative. God's people will portray the person who they really are. And I can't imagine trying to get to know a person, but I can't be me because I'm so busy worried about you thinking X, Y, and Z. Or I have heard women won't eat because the dress is so tight that if she ate, she'd be suffocating. Again, the facade, again, that imposter, again, that, you know, thing that you want to put out there to impress people. You know, we're trying to live a godly life. And I'm going to tell you something. God has been challenging us to be godly people. Now, thank God Pastor Kale said this was in his former life. But how many men out here who are in the church who run in the same game? So, you know, you got to stay prayerful. You got to stay up on your game. You have to be honest as well. It makes no sense for you to criticize him for not being honest, but yet you're being dishonest. So, you know, let's make sure we're doing things the way God has designed them to be. Be honest, upfront, and open about who you are, and you don't have to eat that later. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping us to stay on our toes. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give your life to the Lord right now or either strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now. Oh, later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares. Let's talk about it Tuesday, church folk day. I love you.